Shanti. The wonder of the subject of yoga is that as soon as you start reflecting on the subject, that is in itself yoga. And in fact, that's true of all of Baba's knowledge. You have to start reflecting on the subject of the soul, and you're pulled into the stage of soul consciousness. And that is yoga. Start reflecting on the subject of God. That is yoga. Reflect on the subject of the cycle, and you step from limited consciousness into eternity. And that is yoga. And so today I was thinking that when Baba says, the knowledge that I've come to teach you is the knowledge of Raj Yoga, or I come to teach you Raj Yoga, then you can see in a sense how all the teachings are for that purpose, to enable us to be able to have yoga with God. And that is the power of Sangam Yoga, that only in this one time in the cycle can we experience actual yoga. And it is at this time that we are blessed with the teachings that take us into the unlimited, so that then we're able to understand and experience yoga. And I was also thinking, should we first reflect on what is yoga and the power of yoga, and then the wonders? Or we first think about the wonders and then yoga power? And I decided that it is important to clarify the subject of yoga, and with that then the power of yoga, and the wonders will automatically come. And so you'll say, but we learned about yoga in the first day, in the first week's course. Yes, that's true, but you can see how through the Muralis and through the classes from the Dadis, we get new insights into yoga continually. And one of the things that had touched me very deeply a little while ago had been, you've heard this expression from Dadi many times, but she was talking about how we have to have true yoga, real yoga. And when you start reflecting on what is real yoga, true yoga, then you realize it means moving away from everything that is artificial, everything that's temporary, everything that's false, and then what is it that remains? You and Baba. And so real yoga, true yoga, is truly leaving behind absolutely everything. And it's been described in the Gita beautifully. Renounce the consciousness of the body and all bodily religions. And when it talks about bodily religions, then again thinking about all the things that we say are the things that are part of my life. Religion is a way of life, and all the things that are part of my life and part of my world and part of my comfort zone, all those things are the things that I have to let go of. Bodily religions. And when I've been able to let go of all the things that I say, this is who I am, this is where I belong, this is what I am, then bodily relations. And in that stage of coming to the reality of the self, of who I am, then I'm independent, I'm self-sufficient, and I can let go of all the bodily relations. Otherwise, how can I even imagine that it's possible to be here in this world and be active in the world, not having let go of the world, but very engaged in the world, and yet not be dependent on human beings? It seems an impossible achievement. Either be in the world and be off the world, or let go of the world and be in another world. But yet Baba is saying, be in the world and yet don't be off the world. Be above the world, so that then you are able to stay engaged, but you're not trapped by the world. And so that stage of soul consciousness, and based in the truth of that, then I'm able to let go, and I'm able to experience that connection truly with one. And so just that experience of what is real yoga, to what extent have I been able to develop that? You can see that from time to time, maybe we've had a glimpse of it, we've been able to experience it for a short while, and then whether it's service, whether it's people, whether it's situations, we don't come down necessarily, but we don't stay on that course of true yoga. And if we were to cultivate that consciousness of true yoga, really me and Baba, and then yes, the rest of the world, the Brahmin family and service and the whole wide world, but if it's me and Baba first and foremost, then the rest of the family, there's a different engagement with them. It's when I've created a distance from myself and Baba, and of course this beautiful Murali, the jewel of contentment, the treasures that Baba shared the other night. If it's Baba and me and the attainments from Baba, then you can see that engaging with this family, and first and foremost, it's this family that causes many challenges. Yes? Yes. So, when I've been able to take all the treasures from Baba through true yoga, true connection, other people are on their journey, and whatever stage they've reached on that journey is okay. I'm not affected by the things that are going around me in terms of their sanskars and their stories. I'm with them, but I'm unaffected by them. But more than that, as Baba's child, filled with all attainments, I'm even able to impact them with Baba's vibrations. You must have been in situations like this. There's a group of people and there's interaction happening, and the interaction gets more and more intense, and things get a little bit heated and a little bit tense. And a yogi walks into the room. The others are also yogis, no doubt. But a powerful yogi walks into the room, or is part of that, and then begins to share a different perspective, a different vision. And that tension is dissipated. The people are the same, their natures and samskaras are still the same. But within that room, everybody begins to sparkle. And the quality of vibration has shifted completely. And there's a different world that's been created, and a different atmosphere that now exists. Let's experience that. I'm sure that all of you have to a certain extent, and look back and it'll unfold in front of you and you'll remember it and be aware of it. And so if I've been ever a part of that story and experience, I've seen it, I've felt it, I know what it's like. But then the next step, can I be an instrument to make that shift happen wherever it is I am and whoever it is I am with? You know, one of Daddy's least favorite words, busy. And she's talked about it, of course. But what I understand is that what she's talking about is when we get so engrossed in the work. She's not busy, and yet she's occupied 18 hours a day. But the word busy and the word engaged, and the difference that in this word busy, where I just become occupied in the task, then I don't have space for another consciousness or a different awareness to come in. Everything in here is locked up. And so, yes, where I am engaged, but yet I'm able to be with Baba. And so what's visible is that there's enough time to pause and smile. There's enough time to connect with the other individual, so that it's not just work, 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 but you're actually connecting with the other individual through the power of yoga. And so whether it's one or whether it's a gathering, we've seen the difference where there's yoga at work and when there's the absence of yoga. And so yoga, not just when I sit down to meditate, but yoga when I'm with the family, and also yoga in terms of what's going on around the world. And now not just Baba Smriti is telling us about the future and the upheaval, but the future is now. We are seeing the upheaval, and in the immediate future, it's going to get more and more chaotic and more crazy. And so my service of the world, it can't be through words. People are not willing to listen to words. People want to see the proof. And so if in the midst of that chaos, I truly can remain light and easy and unshakable and peaceful, but also, not just detached, but compassionate and cooperative, able to give help in what way is needed. That is the memorial of the angels, the ones who are able to be instruments of God and messengers of God. The interesting thing is that in India, they have the memorials of the deities, but in many, many places abroad, certainly all over Europe, but also I'm sure in the whole industry. Of course, everything becomes an industry at the end of Kali Yuga. Even angels become an industry. So all over the West, the industry of angels, you know, the commercialization of angels. But the point that the memorial of angels all over the world. And that's because Baba's children have played that role all over the world. In Bharat, the Brahmins become the deities, and the deities are worshipped, and this is the land of the deities. That's great. But the rest of the wide world, and Baba's children are in every corner of the world now, the memorial of the service of the confluence age is the memorial of angels absolutely worldwide and through all religions also, whether it's Buddhism or Islam or Judaism or Christianity, and I think I've covered the major religions, Hindus and deities, okay, but all the other religions remember the angels. And how do the angels serve? Surely it is through the power of yoga. Angels don't serve by giving lectures, but angels serve through the power of yoga, so that their being of light, they're remembered as beings of light, they're remembered as the messengers of hope, the messengers of peace, the messengers of love. And so others have had that experience of the children of God, the children of light, being the instruments who do all of this. They protect, they help, they give succor, they give whatever is the need. And so, who's going to do that? Surely those who have the experience of being God's children. In a way, yes, the whole wide world are the children of God. No question about that. But yet, out of those multi-millions, how many have... Is there a medical person here? There's help needed at the back. Okay, it's being taken care of. Okay, enough. There's 8 doctors. That's okay. There's enough that have gone. So, the whole wide world, the children of God. But who are the ones who stay in the consciousness of being the children of God? And even out of the family here, and Baba says, number wise according to effort, or number wise according to your consciousness, number wise according to your awareness. So, whoever here, or at this moment in the confluence age, has created the awareness through the power of yoga, of being a child of God and staying in that consciousness and connection with God, those are the children who become the children of light and become the angels who play that role. And so that position is vacant, and there's no numbers there. How many angels? There's 108 beads that have victory, but there can be a host of angels, many, many angels. So no dividing line. As many as want to be and wish to be can be the angels. So the power of yoga, where it's not just for me, but it's also able to help the family, but also it's able to help the world. And so, is the quality of my yoga of that caliber? Just imagine if there's a little flame, and that flame is still flickering and wavering, and maybe the wind is able to put it out, then how much is that flame going to help in the darkness that is all around? And so first step, at least the flame has to be steady and stable, so that my yoga is not affected by all the things that are going on around me, whether it's people or circumstances or whatever. And so at least the little flame should stay very, very stable. But then Baba says it's not enough to be just a tiny little flame. Increase the power of your connection with God, that it's not just a little tiny flame moving up towards God, but that your connection with God is so powerful that really it's like a searchlight. It's a beam that's able to pierce through the darkness and is able to give that light to others. But then even further, Baba says, there's a very specific expression that Baba uses, and that is, stay in the awareness of mukti in one eye and jivan mukti in the other eye. And what that means is, stay in the awareness of that state of liberation, of silence, of peace, and also stay in the awareness of the future perfection state, the state of liberation in life. So staying in that state of freedom, staying in that state of perfection, keeping both that awareness, then you can be the lighthouse that's able to give light all around. Think about the Sakar Muralis, and you'll remember that it's these connections that Baba makes with the stage of lighthouse, mukti in one eye and jivan mukti in the other eye. And I've given just a very brief interpretation of this, but there's more behind it, and it's something for you to experiment with also, and feel what does it mean to have mukti in one eye and jivan mukti in the other eye. But from that little tiny flame to the stage of the searchlight, to the stage of a lighthouse, where the power of your yoga, the power of your consciousness is really of that stage, the home, the future, with Baba in between, and then you're able to give light wherever it is needed, whoever it is that's around. But the foundation of that lighthouse has to be absolutely a rock. A lighthouse isn't on sand, but a lighthouse is always built on rock and it's elevated, it's up there. And so let me see to what extent I've been able to develop the quality of my yoga and be able to come to that stage where it is of that caliber. And then, how do I begin to see the wonders of yoga? And I'm seeing that it begins on a very personal level. And if you go through your own journey, you'll be able to see how the first period when you came to Baba, and probably it was joy and intoxication and tremendous love and the honeymoon period with Baba before, not before you discovered the sanskars of others, but before you discovered the depth of the sanskars within yourself. So, I mean, when I first came, I was seeing the sanskars of others. I knew everybody around me. I'd known them for most of my life growing up with Baba, but I wasn't bothered by their sanskars at all. But as I moved along and I discovered my own sanskars, and my own sanskars became a challenge, then the sanskars of others were causing upheaval also. But at first, you see the sanskars of others and you're not bothered about it too much. But in that initial period where there is that intoxication and love, there's a tremendous shift that happens, and it's a shift that's actually quite visible, and others notice it because you change your diet, you change your timetable, maybe you even change your clothes and you change your lifestyle. There's a lot of external change that happens, and of course it also causes fear and reactions from others. And then the trick about yoga power at that stage, and the wonder of yoga power, is that you're able to keep your commitment to all these external changes, But you're also able to take away their fear. You're able to keep them calm and sympathetic and understanding instead of causing reactions within them. And I've seen both things happen where there's some families who react and some families who begin to appreciate the changes that are happening. And so to whatever extent there is that joy and yoga power, and people see, families see that joy, then that's what transforms them. And they say, okay, if this is what makes you happy, so be it, carry on. So the first stage of yoga power, where the external changes happen, and then the inner stage that one begins to experiment with, and you see how yoga power is beginning to work. Three words that Baba uses, and it's this transformation which is impossible without yoga power. And with yoga power, it happens so easily that we don't even feel there's any struggle that's been involved. And those three words are drishti, you know that, I don't need to translate it, vritti, attitude, and kriti, action. So my vision, my attitude, and my actions, they change. And if you think about how many divisions exist in the world, or even your own awareness and how there were so many divisions that you had put up in your own life, barriers between you and others. And suddenly, the wonder of yoga power, your connection with Baba, the experience of yoga, and things have changed in here. Your vision has changed. And you're beginning to see one family. There's been a gathering of people from 100 countries here. That was the figure of the numbers present in front of Baba on Monday. And people from 100 nations living together in absolute harmony. Really, it's incredible. And downstairs, although there was a powerful atmosphere, physical conditions were far from perfect. It was too hot, there were all sorts of bugs that you had to cope with, there were long walks from one place to another place. You know, the list of moans and groans and complaints can be a long one. I'm very aware of that. But that wasn't the atmosphere. It wasn't an atmosphere of moaning and groaning and complaining. It was an atmosphere that was so high. And here also, if you see, it's a question of my vision and my attitude. If I want to complain and moan and groan, there'll always be things to complain about. But if I choose not to, and my vision has been transformed, what is the purpose? What am I here for? What are we all about? And it's that vision, then all of those things are left down below. And I'm up above, just here. And so the vision has changed. One family, one gathering, one parent, one home, one task, one mission. Everything of oneness. And no hesitation, no fear, no rejection, just total love and acceptance, respect and dignity. Now, that transformation and that experience, this is the wonder of yoga for myself, as well as in terms of my relationships with everybody around me. My vision has changed, my attitude has changed, and so my behavior with others has also changed. And so the way these physical organs function. You know, Baba uses this expression, the master of this vehicle, the master of this body, and the sovereign of this. Now, this is a wonder. Where previously my eyes used to lead me astray, my attitude used to cause problems, and I didn't even know why there was a problem. And now, my eyes are filled with love and purity. My ears, I can choose what to hear. What is it that's going to be a little bug that comes and causes upheaval? You know the story of the elephant. There's this huge creature. Everybody's scared to come in his way. And yet, a tiny little ant can make him fall. Yeah? An elephant and an ant? How is it possible? Well, if the ant knows what to do, it can make the elephant fall. All it has to do is to crawl into the elephant's ear. And once the elephant has this ant crawling around, he goes nuts. Absolutely goes wild. So that's the external story. But the story here, same thing. You're a Maharathi, you're strong, you're a powerful yogi. And you hear something. So-and-so said something about you. So-and-so made this comment. Maybe they said it to you. Maybe you're hearing it through someone. Worse. Because then the imagination runs riot. But that gets into your ear. And that's it. And so the yogi, the one who has conquered the physical senses, the wonder of yoga power. And so the proof of yoga power. What is happening with my eyes? What do I see? Who do I see? How do I see? What's going on with my ears? Useful, not useful, wasteful, negative, powerful, positive. Maybe it is something that somebody said about me. But the swan. Well, what is the lesson I have to learn from this? Maybe I'm not like that. Maybe they've misunderstood. Maybe it's the wrong judgment. Whatever it is. But what is it that made them think like this or say something like this? What is it that's teaching me? And what lesson can I learn from it? And so really, to be able to turn every situation around so that I'm able to benefit from it. One of the things about the power of yoga is the ability to transform. You know how energy is able to transform physical energy. In the same way, the energy that one is receiving from God, there's the power to be able to transform. Transformation inside, transformation in relationships, transformation in situations. And so the first aspect of transformation, my interpretation. The situation may be a challenge and quite negative, but the power of yoga means I can transform it and rise above it and see what is it that there's of benefit here for me, and through that take a jump and move ahead. And so each one of my physical senses now transformed. The lotus filled with that purity, and from a human being, now I'm sitting on a lotus, and that really is the wonder of yoga power. Otherwise, human beings and their physical senses, we're in total bondage to the senses, And that's what's happened and has brought us down to the point of Kali Yuga. If you think about the extremes of materialism today, it's really just the play of the physical senses and consumerism. It's just feeding the physical senses, the destruction of the environment. It's because we've been so much into physical senses and all of these external things. And so the end of Kali Yuga and the extreme of evil has come because there's been such body consciousness that we wanted nothing but to try and pander to our senses. There's no way we can satisfy our senses. There's always going to be the desire for more, more, more. And the more you feed your addiction, the worse it gets, because that's what it is. Addiction, it's, you know, gets more and more and more. It's never going to be okay. Now I've had enough. That's not what the name of the game is. And so, totally the contrast. And the way that Baba lifts us above and out of Kali Yuga. There's nothing that attracts me. There's nothing that I want. Baba's given me everything. There's nothing that can cause disturbance and distress. There's a state of contentment and purity. I mean, just reflect on this and experiment with it, and just that, the conquest of the physical senses is an amazing attainment of the power of yoga, a wonder of the power of yoga. But Baba gives even more, not just the senses, but more than that, there's this very interesting expression the Baba uses, and that is, have you become feeling proof? And what Baba means is, are you beyond the fluctuation of negative and positive feelings? Where you've been able to come to a state of equanimity? And so it isn't that one moment the feelings are intense positive, and the next moment the feelings are of intense negative, like and dislike and love and hatred and all the contrasts that most people go through, and the seesaw of feelings that we then experience. But the power of yoga, and I'm able to stabilize my mind, I'm able to clean my feelings, so that my feelings are very good feelings, are very pure feelings, not of like and dislike or hate and love, but very good feelings for each and every person. As yogis also, we have our preferences. I prefer this one's company to that one's company. It's easier to be with this one and not so easy to be with this one. And to have that state of equanimity, of good feelings for everyone, and to be able to see the specialities of each one, that is the power of yoga. And the things I'm talking about are not abstract up in the sky. We've had the experience of being with yogis and we've seen them. We all went through the experience of being with Avyakta Bapdada. And it was interesting watching Baba's face as maybe it was 2,500 people who walked past Baba. And Baba's face, maybe you were busy walking and so you connected with Baba and took that drishti, and then it was later that you were watching Baba's face. I had the amazing fortune of being in a position where I could see Baba's face all the time as each one walked past, and so many different individuals, you know, the variety of 2,500. It's absolutely everything in terms of caste and color and religion and nationality and profession and samskaras and personalities and background. I think it's a whole big melting stew pot. Everything's in it. And Baba's sweet smile and Baba's powerful drishti and Baba's loving good wishes for each and every single soul. And that moment of contact, 10 seconds, 30 seconds, or whatever it was, what is it that Baba's seeing? Baba's seeing not only the soul, but Baba's seeing the highest state of the soul. And so this is why we enjoy being in front of Baba. Baba's lifting us to that vision, Baba's elevated vision of all of us. And so we've seen the demonstration. And if the aim is to be like the Father, well, you've seen what the Father does. And now, am I able to have that same feeling for all? The drishti will also then be there. But that state of absolute nothing but good wishes for each and every single one. And so my thoughts, my feelings, elevated and pure and filled with God's light. That is the wonder of the power of yoga. There's one word that I haven't yet mentioned, and I'll come to that later. And that is sanskars. And as I said, I'll come to that later. Because maybe we deal with sanskars in a very deep way further along our journey. But the becoming the master of the self and the sovereign of the self on that inner level. Firstly, it's those thoughts and feelings that we're dealing with. The intellect has been touched by God. And so the intellect, our job to keep it clean. But the intellect in contact with God, and then yes, the intellect's been transformed. And then I have to make sure that God's task is fulfilled. He's touched me and blessed me with a divine intellect. My job now to look after this gift. The one who gives the gift gives it. And then the one who receives the gift has to look after it and clean it every day and keep it in a safe place. And so my job to look after it, keep it clean, wash it with gyan every single day, make sure that there's no dust or pollution that's affecting it. But in terms of my mind, my feelings, the wonder of God's power and the way God is elevating and transforming all this. Especially those who've been through periods of darkness and a state of darkness in which the mind isn't able to see any light at the end of the tunnel. Thoughts going round and around and around in a negative track. And in the worst case, you'd say that it's a state of depression. But in mild cases, and all of us have been through mild cases where it's either a day or an hour or a few days where we go through a period of negativity. And here is Baba. And Baba's teaching us to have pure thoughts and elevated thoughts, and it's giving me the power to be able to keep on that level. If I contrast that, what was the state of my mind before and what is it today? What are the treasures that Baba has given me to play with? That is the wonder of the power of yoga, the gifts that God has given and how God has lifted my mind out of the darkness in which it was trapped. How God has cleansed and purified my feelings. On the one side, it's important not to be trapped by the past, But on the other side, if I'm with Baba today and I see where was I before and how far I've come today, and I have that experience of gratitude, it's a tremendous boost to your yoga, because then you'll see how it really is God's wonder that so much change has already happened. Another aspect of the wonder of the power of yoga, and I don't know how many of you have experimented with it. You're with another individual and they're maybe on a different track completely. Doesn't matter whether they're a Brahmin or not on the path of Raj Yoga. Doesn't matter, works the same. Your consciousness of the soul, your consciousness of being with Baba, and you see them with that vision, and you keep Baba between you, and they were on a different track completely, and you begin to see how the shift happens, and you're able to stay in alignment with them. Non-Brahmins, those not jnanis, yogis, and again, Baba's light is able to touch them, and you see them shift and come to the point where Baba wants them to be. And it's Baba who's touched them, Baba who's brought them round to this way of thinking. Your words could not have convinced them, but Baba was able to touch them. I'm sure you must have witnessed this many, many times. Again, appreciate the wonder of the power of yoga. Very specifically, early in the morning, after your Amrit Vela, just run in your mind the timetable of the day and what you think the day is going to hold. And maybe it turns out to be quite different, but that's okay. But your preparation, early morning. And early morning, send out that light to the souls that you're going to be connecting with, the ones that you know about, the situations that you know you're going to be involved with. And you'll see yoga power work. And you'll see the power of yoga showing you wonders. A situation that I thought was going to be a very challenging one to resolve. And sending out Baba's light to those people who I was going to be with. And then a few hours later, I'm with them. And the day before, it had seemed impossible. And then a few hours later, after Amrit Vela, I'm with them. And there's such harmony and consensus that comes about in a short space of time that it's incredible. And God's wonder, the power of yoga, yoga power. God has touched them and has changed their awareness so that consensus is possible. And they were absolutely on opposite sides of the fence. And you're not a mediator, you're not a professional, but you just use Baba's love, Baba's light. And the power of yoga brings them together. And it's Baba that's made it happen, and they've changed their attitude. And so whether it's with other people, or whether it's with yourself, you begin to appreciate yoga power in these ways. The new world is being created. The power of yoga has to touch everyone so that their consciousness changes, and circumstances are helping in this and making people move away from materialism. They don't have a choice. And so now they're appreciating the awareness of God, the need for God's presence, connecting with God. So yoga power is working. But the golden age will only come when my sanskars are satapradhan. for all of us. And so the last stage of the fire of yoga, of the wonder of yoga power, where really you're experiencing God's love. The fire is the fire of love. You're able to be with Baba, and it's the fire of love that you're feeling and experiencing, and that light and might is finishing all the sanskaras, removing all the burden that the soul is carrying, and releasing that original, eternal soul in its state of perfection. The sanskaras of the golden age are within me. This is why I'm here. This is why Baba has made me belong to him. What I need to do is to remind myself of this and remember this and let that awakening happen and those original sanskaras be released and then expressed. And so all the other things are happening, but I think it's time for us to experience the wonder of yoga power and seeing our own real transformation of sanskaras. This is the wonder that's going to reveal God to the world, because God's children will have been revealed. Om Shanti. We are going to be having just a very little presentation for a couple of minutes about something very special, and then we'll sit together and generate that fire of yoga and experience the wonder of yoga power. Sister Julia from New York, I'm not sure how many of you know her, but you've seen her, and she's had interesting challenges in Madhuban. And you don't come to Madhuban and then spend the time in a wheelchair. But Julia's kept smiling through all of that. So tests come in unexpected ways. So Julia has been Baba's child for many years and is Baba's instrument to the UN office in New York. And there's a very powerful and beautiful story she has to relate. Om Shanti. I come back to the awareness of my own immortality, the eternity of I, the being of light. I connect with Baba, the being of truth, the being of love. My connection with Baba is an eternal one, and Baba, my eternal parent, awakens this memory. And as the memory returns of who I am and who my eternal parent is, yoga is natural. I, with Baba, the ocean of love, the being of light, the truth, the Almighty. Baba has reminded me of who he is and this eternal connection that I have with him. Not only am I remembering Baba, but Baba the magnet is pulling me towards himself. And so easily and naturally, I have left behind the confines of the physical body, the limits of the physical dimension, and I am in this unlimited space, infinite space, with Baba. And this connection of yoga, of union with Baba, transforms me. Things of the recent past dissolve, and the truth, the reality that was hidden, emerges. The purity, the truth, the love, the joy. And I become totally quiet, filled with deep peace and contentment. That I can be silent. I with Baba in the world of peace, experience the sweetness of silence. And automatically, the power of silence spreads out into the world, awakening all of God's children. Healing and cleansing. Human hearts and nature. Our souls become peaceful, filled with God's love. God's light and love touches nature, and nature is cleansed and returns to order and harmony. Silence reaches every part of the universe. I stay in the silence and allow power of silence to become deeper and stronger.
Om Shanti. I've been asked to share with you, to let you all know that we've produced this book called The Story of Immortality, A Return to Self-Sovereignty. Sister Genty was talking about self-sovereignty this evening, so I thought that was a nice introduction. About 4 years ago, there was inspiration from Bapdada for the USA to produce this book, and Sister Mohini took up the challenge, and she created a team of us to research 5 years' worth of Muralis so that we could come up with a book, a gift, really, to the world, to our contacts, and to let them know about Baba's knowledge in quite a direct way, actually, because this book contains all the knowledge of the Muralis, actually in Baba's words. So Baba speaks very directly in this, but it's very, as you will see, when you read it, it's very easy for Lokic people to understand it. And what we did, because one of the reasons we produced it is because a lot of our contacts were actually saying, you know, there's something about you, but what is the knowledge base? And without going into all the different lessons, you know, we felt that they really needed to have something where they could discover it for themselves. But we wanted to do it in a way that was a little bit light, because Baba's knowledge can be quite intense. And so we created this book, and what we've done is we've got, it's really the story of a seeker. And all of us are seekers, and I'm sure that all of you remember when you first came into Gyan, that feeling of almost stepping into another world. You were living, you were doing your jobs or whatever journey you were on, and yet it felt as if you had stepped through some sort of doorway. And so we sort of created the same thing here with Baba's, with this book, where we have a story of the seeker, and at the beginning of each chapter, there's this story which, you know, says the seeker, she's been searching and she comes through this door, and then she meets this teacher. And then the teacher teaches her the different lessons of Gyan. So there's it starts off with a chapter on the confluence age, and then it goes into the soul, and then God, and then the cycle, and then the tree, and then Srimat, and then Raj Yoga, and then the chariot, introducing Brahma Baba as the chariot of God. And then finally, the final chapter is on Madhavan, a place of paradise. And then, so at the beginning of each chapter, there's the story of the seeker. And then at the end of each chapter also, it sort of wraps around the chapter. And what's very lovely about it is that it also reflects her thoughts about what she's just heard. So that helps the reader also, because as the reader is reading the lesson, they themselves will come up with these questions, and some of the questions or the reflections are answered at the end of the chapter in the reflection of the seeker. So it's very beautiful. It's got illustrations. We had an artist from India, from Delhi, do the illustrations. He's not a Brahmin, but he's a very fine illustrator. I'll show you just one of the pictures here. This is the illustration of the tree here. And it's very lovely because you can see that the hands of the roots here are almost holding gently the new sapling of the tree. And then it points up and it becomes a hand at the top that's pointing to God. And then all around here is the rosary of all the different religions. So a little bit different from the tree that we're used to seeing, but it certainly gets the message across. Let me show you one more. And then I know it's meditation, so I won't go on. And then here, this is Madhavan. Come to Madhavan. So again, you've got the seeker walking up the path, and it goes to Shantivan, and here is Gyan Sarovar, and ends up in Baba's hut here. And so you can see that all the chapters have these frames here of decoration. And because it's quite intense, we've also allowed for a lot of white space here. And it's got a glossary at the back, and Sister Mihi has done a foreword, and Daddy Janki has done an afterword. And the book is dedicated to Daddy Prakashmani also. And we've done it in very good quality paper. And as you can see, it's a hardback version. This is a limited edition. It's being printed at the moment. This is the only copy that we have, and we showed it to Baba on the 20th. But it's being printed, and it should be ready sort of middle November, and then it's got to be shipped. So it'll be available the middle of December for everybody. And we'll be also bringing some to Madhavan in ready for February. If you're coming, then you can take some with you. And also, it's going to be in the regional literature of Australia and London and also the USA. And we've got some little cards here. We've only done about 300 of them. We're actually going to get a whole lot printed. But it tells you a little bit about the book. and it's got some people's comments about what they feel about the book here, and the price and the availability and the ISBN number and everything. And I think Brother Eric is going to be, after meditation, he'll be outside where you usually get your toli in the morning. So if you want to take a postcard, you're very welcome to have it. And we're also going to be doing email announcements about it. So I just wanted to share this with you. It'll be very lovely gifts for your contacts and also for your families who've been wondering what you've been doing for all of these years. And it explains it in a very easy and clear way. A little bit. Although Baba says, you know, that we don't have a scripture. The true Gita, right. Om Shanti.